his word.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, men often dream. Let's get started. I'm out of a hole here. Amen. Men often dream faraway lands, strange sounding names. And although it seems each time I dream, it's much the same. Oh, I see a place that I have never been before. And a father who waits by a big shining gate with a big open door. What's that I hear? Is it the sound of a trumpet? Oh, I feel a touch of a much better place. And if I am dreaming, please don't awake me, for soon the eastern sky will part and I'll see his face. Now this old world has lost its charm. It's no place for me. It's that white shining throne in my new home that I long to see. Oh, I spend my days in much the same way. I wait for the sound. Then my hands will be raised with one shout of praise, headed for higher ground. Oh, what's that I hear? Is it the sound of a trumpet? I feel the touch of a much better place. And if I am dreaming, please don't wake me, for soon the eastern sky will part and I'll see his face. Now this old world has lost its charm. It's no place for me. It's that white shining throne in my new home. That's what I long to see. And I spend my days in much the same way. I wait for the sound. Then my hands will be raised with one shout of praise, headed for higher ground. Oh, what's that I hear? Is it the sound of a trumpet? I feel the touch of a much better place. If I am dreaming, please don't wake me, for soon the eastern sky will part and I'll see his face. For soon the eastern sky will part and I'll see his face. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Thank God for the hope today that we have in Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. I'm reading today from the book of 1 Peter chapter 5, the 7th verse. It simply says, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Casting all your cares upon him, because he cares for you. I want to preach this morning about a time to commit. The word cast means to throw. We sometimes hear people talk about casting themselves upon the mercy of the court. You may be seated. If you have ever seen a trapeze artist as they swing on those trapeze and they swing back and forth and they use in their body momentum, they swing higher and higher and higher. And then there comes that climatic moment when one of them releases himself from the safety of the bar that is in his hands. And he literally flings himself through open space, flipping as he goes. And he has placed himself, he has committed himself to the hands of another. And then there is that gasp as one reaches out and he grabs hold of the other, and with a strong grip, he suddenly assures his future that he will live another day. And the applause goes up from the audience because of the feat that they have just witnessed. That is what commitment is all about. There comes a time in your life when you have to commit yourself to another. There may be a time when you will commit yourself to the hands of a surgeon. There may be a time that you appear in a court of law and you commit your future into the hands of a lawyer. There may come a time in your life when you are going, there will come a time in your life when you will need somebody greater than yourself. There will come a time when you will need a Savior. There will come a time when you are facing the end of the journey and time is quickly running out, and you are facing an uncertain future over which you have absolutely no control. And that's when you're going to need a Savior. Brother Holly said, and wisely so, a man may be his own God, but he cannot be his own Savior. A man may serve himself, but he cannot. He has to have a Savior. A man may worship himself, but there will come a day that you will need a Savior. You got to have somebody outside of yourself. You got to have somebody that's higher than you are. You've got to have somebody more powerful than you are. You've got to have somebody that's wiser than you are. There will come a day when you will need a Savior. Amen. When the sun's shining bright, the birds are singing in the sky, and you have the world by the tail. Everything seems to be going good, but everybody knows it can flip suddenly. Amen. We went to a swimming hole one time, and there was a rope that we would swing out over the water. And the idea is you would swing out over the waters and you get out there and you drop at the peak just as high as you could go and fall into the water. Now, what's fun about that? I don't know. It don't seem as much fun now as it used to. But there was a time that was fun. So, man, I swung out there and I was going to reach the apex. And all of a sudden that rope snapped and I flipped around real quick. And the next thing I knew, I was on my way back. And there was a big cliff, a big old rock just hanging up there. When I finally got enough sense to let go of the rope, I mean to tell you, friend, it changed quickly. I was swinging out in the beautiful sunshine, and suddenly I was I was dropping fast, and by this time the momentum, I ain't going that way no more. I'm going right toward the cliff. And I start calling on that name. I needed a Savior. Amen. I dropped just a couple of feet right before I would have smashed into the face of that cliff, and it wouldn't have been a pretty sight. I would have been uglier than I am now. I was facing some trouble. And that's the way life is. You get to the end of your rope, so to speak, and you twist suddenly, and you find yourself facing calamity. And that's when you need a Savior. There was a woman in the book of Luke. We read her story. The only details we know about her simply is this. Number one, she was a woman. And number two, she was a sinner. Both of those would have been strikes against her in the society that she lived in. And then the Bible says an odd thing, Brother Hart, that the Bible said she came to Simon the Pharisee's house. Now, why in the world would a woman who was a sinner be going to the house of a Pharisee that she knew despised her? It was because there was somebody else there. Hallelujah. Hear me today. I've heard folks say, I don't go to church because there's hypocrites there. Amen. If you let a hypocrite stand between you and Jesus Christ, he's closer to God than you are. Amen. Praise God. We don't come to church because there's perfect people here. We come to church because Jesus Christ is here. We come to church because there's a Savior here. We come to church because there's a healer here. We come to church because of Him. And that's the reason that you come here. She went to Simon's house, not because of Simon the Pharisee, but in spite of Simon the Pharisee. She came because Jesus was there and she heard that he was a Savior. The Bible said that she came behind him. Now, to understand this picture, it's a little different in Oriental countries than it is in North America. When they eat, they don't sit down at a table like we do. Instead, the table was very low, and they would actually recline on the ground, and they had pillows, and they would eat like this, and they would be, can you see me? All right, good. And you see, they could just rake it off. No, that's not the idea, really. But they would recline on the ground, similar to what I'm doing here. So in that fashion, you understand how she could come behind and stand at his feet. And so Jesus is reclined there and he's eating, and this woman comes up to him, and from scripture she doesn't say anything, but she begins to commit herself. The first thing she committed was her past. The Bible says that she began to wash his feet with her tears. Now, you can't cry that much. I mean, I've seen people cry, but you can't cry enough to wash somebody's feet with your tears. What that indicates to us is that she had what they use in Bible times was a tear bottle. People would literally catch their tears in a bottle and store them up. And according to tradition, that if they shed enough tears, then somehow, according to their cultural beliefs, that it would get them somehow into a good place in heaven if you shed enough tears and you suffered enough in this life. Amen. But somehow she must have thought, this bottle of tears is not going to get me very far. And so I'm going to commit my past, all of the tears I've shed, and all of the sufferings that I've gone through, and all of the problems that I've had, I'm going to just pour it out. All of my hope, I'm going to pour it out on Jesus Christ. And so she takes all of her heartaches, and all of her troubles, and all of her problems, and she pours it all out on Jesus Christ. Hey, somebody here today, you need to make your way to an altar, and you need to pour it all out to Jesus Christ. All of the pain and all the suffering and all of the abuse and all of the hurting and all that's happened to you, just pour it all out upon Him and commit your way unto the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. It was an act of commitment. Yes, she was condemned. Somebody said to her, or said in their heart, they said, if Jesus knew what kind of a woman that was, he wouldn't permit her to do what she's doing. Amen. And I know how people talk. People say, you know, so-and-so, I can't believe they go to church. Amen. People's tongues are long. I read about a guy one time. He was tired of gossiping, and he got under conviction, but he had a reputation for being a gossip. And he said to the preacher, I'm going to take this old long tongue, and I'm going to lay it on the altar. The preacher said, it's not long enough. The altar is too short for your long tongue. Amen. But let me tell you, in reality, that's not true. Anything that you commit to Jesus Christ, He receives what we give Him. Hallelujah. He'll take all of our mistakes and all of our heartaches and all of our troubles and all of our weariness and all of our failure. Amen. And He will give you His strength and His power and His forgiveness, and He'll let you start all over again. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, Simon criticized. Yes, Simon didn't like what was going on. But Jesus recognizes love, and He recognizes devotion and sincerity when He sees it, and He received her. Don't you worry about what anybody else thinks. Don't you listen to critics. Don't listen to the devil. I know exactly how it works, because it works on me. And the first thing the devil starts saying is, if you go down there and worship, pray at that altar, they're going to think you've been up to something. Is that right? Anybody ever heard that one before? Huh? Don't you go down there and pray. People are going to think you're an awful person. Amen. It doesn't matter what anybody thinks. First of all, most people are not going to think that. And the ones that do don't count. Amen. The ones that really matter are going to come down here with you. The ones that really matter are going to be praying with you. The ones that really matter are going to be encouraging you. The ones that really matter are going to remember, that's where I stood. And I may stand there again someday. And I'm going to need mercy. So I'm going to show mercy. Amen. And so she committed her way to the Lord. The Bible said Jesus forgave her sins. Amen. Hallelujah. It didn't really matter what Simon said after that. It didn't matter what the Pharisee thought after that. Listen to me today. Once you get your sins under the blood and you've been forgiven and you have that peace and that joy and that righteousness that comes in the Holy Ghost, nothing else really matters. Amen. Mark chapter 5, the Bible said a little lady came to where Jesus was. She'd heard about Him. She found herself in a desperate situation. The Bible said she had spent all of her money, and she'd gone to many physicians. I can identify with that. If you've been going to the doctor lately, you probably don't have much left. Amen. She suffered many things of many physicians. Now, we're not here today to criticize physicians. Thank God that we live in a time when there are physicians that can help us. Were it not for physicians and especially the grace of God, I wouldn't be here today. And many of you would not be here today. Amen. Praise God. Many of us without some help would have died a long time ago. So we're not here to criticize. But anybody knows that sometimes when you go to the doctor, it hurts. Yeah, it hurts. You go through some suffering. She suffered all kinds of treatments and all kinds of things. And the Bible said she was no better, but instead she was worse. She didn't have anything left except some hope. She had a little bit of faith. Hallelujah. Somewhere she heard about Jesus. Glory. And when she heard, a little spark of hope rose up on the inside and said, this could be it. And the Bible said she came to where He was, and He was thronged with people. And in her mind, She just said, if I can just squeeze through here and I can just reach out and touch that little blue ribbon around the hem of his garment, if I can just touch that, that's all that I need to do. I don't have to make a fuss. He doesn't have to say anything. If I can just touch him, everything's going to be all right. And she made that effort. She pressed through. And she reached out her trembling hand. And she touched the hem of his garment. And all of a sudden, something went through her. Woo, the Bible said. And immediately, the fountain that had been bleeding was dried up. And the hemorrhaging stopped. And energy flowed into her body. And health began to be restored from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. And she stood up straight and strong. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And I'm sure she started getting afraid then. How did he know? I'll tell you how he knew. He said, because when somebody touched me, he said, virtue went out of me. Now, she wasn't the only one that touched him. There was all kinds of people touching him. But he was not there as a celebrity. He was there as a healer. You hear me today? Jesus doesn't want to be your rock star. Jesus doesn't want to be your Hollywood hero. Jesus doesn't want to be your sports celebrity. Jesus wants to be your Savior. He wants to be your healer. He wants to be your counselor. He wants to be your provider. He wants to be everything that you need for your life. The word virtue comes from the word dunamis. In Acts chapter 1 verse 8, it is translated as power. Jesus said, power came out of me. Strength came out of me. It is not just that, but it is that power that defines something. When I say the word Prius, what do you think of? Prissy. No. You think of economy. You think of ecology. You think of green. You think of good gas mileage. You think of saving money. But when I say Ferrari, what do you think of? If you're a guy, you start drooling and said, man, I think of power. I think of speed. I think of lots of money. I think of style. Amen. Something, when I push on it, buddy, it's going to go somewhere. Amen. It's going to get me there quick. Now, it may cost me more on the journey, but it's going to go when I push on the gas pedal. You see, that's the virtue that's in it. The virtue of a Prius is it saves you money, maybe, if you can afford one. Amen. And it's supposed to be good for some economy, the ecology and stuff, supposedly. And then on the other hand, you got the Ferrari. I'll take the Ferrari every time. Yeah, because that's the image that I like a little better. Amen. You see, when I say cheetah, you know what? I'm not a cheater, but a cheetah, the cat. You see, the cheetah, when you think of a cheetah, you think of speed. It's the fastest animal on feet. I mean, he goes from 0 to 60 in just a little bit. Whoa, whoa. Woman, he's hitting it. He's top speed in just a few little leaps, and he's out of there. That's his virtue. He can run fast. Amen. But if I want to knock that wall down, I don't want a cheetah. It doesn't matter how fast he is. I want something strong. So bring me an elephant. Now, he's not fast. That's not his virtue. His virtue is his strength. His virtue is his power. Amen. He can apply the force of that huge body and all of the strength that's in it, and he can begin to push on that wall, and in just a little while, it's going to come down because that's his virtue. Amen. So friend, when I say Jesus to you today, he's got virtue, hallelujah. And that virtue is his power, amen. And when I say Jesus, I'm talking about a healing power. If you came here sick today, you can leave here delivered today. He can take your sickness away because his virtue can go forth and go into you today and take your sickness away. When you came here today and you have problems and habits and sins that may entangle you, and you have a troubled mind and you have a troubled heart, I'm saying to you, the virtue of Jesus Christ can speak to your trouble and take it all away, and you'll leave here with peace in your mind, and you'll have peace in your heart, and you can leave this place clean, and you can leave here whole by the virtuous power of Jesus Christ. All it takes is a commitment. All it takes is taking all that's wrong and casting it on him. The Bible said that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Amen. And with his stripes, we're healed. So when Jesus was being beaten with that cat of nine tails, he was saying to every person that's sick, I want you to take your sickness, whatever it is, whatever is bothering you, whatever is ailing you, and I want you to take that sickness and I want you to cast it on me. Amen. And he's saying to the sinner, he's saying to the one that is so tired and so weary of living the sinful life of emptiness and chasing rainbows and you can never find the end, and going after promises that are empty and gold that doesn't glitter and has no substance. He's saying, I want you to take all that empty life and cast it on me. All of your shame, all of your guilt, all of your disappointment, cast it on him. Amen. Because he cares for you. Now, he doesn't only care today. Here's the beauty of it all. He does care. That's why he wants you to cast it on him. But here's the thing. He not only cares, but he has virtue. And he has what you lack and what you need. And so when you give him what you are, he gives you what he is. I am unrighteous, and I cast my unrighteousness upon him, but he is the righteousness of God. And so he gives me his righteousness and makes me the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. My, what a trade that is today. Cast your cares on him. That's commitment. That's commitment. I read years ago about a boy that was walking with his father. Little boy was dashing here and there, full of energy. And there was a rock in the road. And so the little boy runs over to the rock and he gets a hold of it. And he's trying to move it and he can't move it. And his dad comes up and he says, son, can you move that stone? And the boy says, dad, he said, I'm trying. He said, well, he said, are you using all of your strength? And the little boy redoubles his efforts and he's straining. His face is red, he's quivering, his muscles are shaking with the effort, and he's still not making any headway. And he looks at his dad and he said, dad, he said, I'm using all the strength that I have. And his dad said, no, you're not. And he said, I am, dad. He said, oh, no, you're not. He said, you have not asked me to help you. You see, he had some strength he wasn't using. And all he had to do was ask. And the father reached down and put his strong hands over those hands of that little boy. And as a united effort together, they lifted up that stone as if it were nothing. Then they cast it aside. And there are some that are struggling with issues in your life, and it seems like you're giving it everything you got, and you're not making any headway. Let me tell you something today. You've got somebody that's just waiting for you to invite him. Father, I've used all my strength, but if you'd just give me a little of yours, we can move this stone. We can handle this. But I need you to reach down today and just help me here. Amen. Somebody here, you're struggling and you need some help. Let me invite you right now. Stand with me. Thank you for your time this morning. I'm asking somebody, you need to make a commitment to the Lord today. You know that. You're flying through the air with the greatest of ease. You're holding on with all that you got. You know you need to let go. Amen. You know you need to make that commitment. I'm saying that the time is now. And the place is here. Cast your cares upon Him. You can't work it out. You've already tried. Over and over, you've laid awake at night trying to figure out how to do things. And no matter what you tried, it seems like it's not working. And no matter how hard you try, you just can't seem to make it. Hey, man, I'm inviting you today. Come, let's just gather around this altar this morning and cast your cares on Him. Bring it with you, would you? Just bring it with you right now. The good thing about Jesus is you don't have to try to impress Him. He doesn't want to be impressed. He just wants honesty. He just wants honesty. He just wants you to be today what you are and who you are. He wants you to come just as you are. Bring your scars and your open wounds. Bring your troubles and your problems. And come and lay them at the feet of Jesus. Commit it to the Lord. The Bible said, commit your way unto the Lord. Amen. Commit it to Jesus. Give it to Him today. Just give it to Him today. It's here. He wants to take it. He wants to change it. He wants to make you better than you've ever been. Amen. Jesus.